I love hearing about all those, the adventures, you know, I've never been to Nigeria, I've been to Africa. I want to talk a little bit about adventures today, in fact. It's been on my mind a lot. Lena and I are planning a youth court excursion to Israel, in fact, in the spring, for the spring holy days. And so far, we have a whole group of women who have signed up, so I'm really hoping some guys will sign up for this trip. I'm getting myself ready. We invited a bunch of our friends from Cincinnati, four women who came to visit. So I'm practicing being, you know, used to all those women. It'll be fine though. It'll be fine. So they have to be patient with me, and then we'll all get along just fine. So I wanted to talk about our Christian expedition today. We've been called to an adventure. It's an amazing adventure, and God has called us to this expedition through life. It's a journey to a wonderful destination. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, this is God speaking to Jeremiah. He said, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." God has called us to know these great and mighty things. He's opened our minds so that we do know them. And each of us have to be at least a little bit adventurous to accept this calling, and definitely curious. I'm really curious about what the kingdom's going to look like. It's going to be an amazing place. But we have to be at least a little bit adventurous, and we have to have a great deal of faith to be able to partake of this adventure. Even though we know where we're going to the kingdom of God, we don't know exactly what it's going to be like on our way there, all the adventures, the misadventures sometimes that happen when we're on this Christian expedition. I see all of you turning to Jeremiah. Actually, we're going to turn to Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 11. So we have to have a great deal of faith to begin this adventure. So we'll start in the faith chapter. In verse 1 of Hebrews 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We haven't seen this kingdom yet. We're given hints and word pictures in the Bible of what it looks like. And we have God living in us to help us to understand it better, how we should live to be in that kingdom. Well, let's drop down to verse 8. Read about somebody else who decided to partake on such an adventure. Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So we're on this wonderful adventure, waiting for this kingdom, seeking it, looking for it, hoping for it. We've taken a chance by answering this calling. This calling leads us to a different way of life than the majority of people around us. It's because God's only called a few at this time, and later on He'll call everyone. They'll get a chance to answer this call. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Gives us an idea of the adventure we're about to partake of, or that we are partaking of right now. Matthew 7, we'll read verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." God has called us to be among the first few to find this path, enter through the narrow gate. It's a narrow path that we walk along. And there's difficult terrain that's going to come. So I always think of it as like a mountain excursion, you know, climbing mountains and peaks and valleys and rivers. And you have your pack on, and you're carrying all your supplies. And we have to count the cost before we We head out on an adventure. Are we going to be able to finish this excursion, this journey that we're on? We always look to Luke 14, verse 28. You may have heard this before. Maybe if you've counseled for baptism, if you've been baptized. Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Are we going to be able to finish this journey, this adventure that we've partaken of? That's not going to be an easy road to travel, but it's something that we have to decide before we begin. Are we going to be able to finish? Let's turn over to chapter 9, the same book, Luke chapter 9. It's kind of it's almost a warning of some of the things, you know, how life can be while we're on this adventure. Luke chapter 9, we'll start in verse 57. Verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road, this is Jesus and his disciples, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So this is a difficult life. We don't always have a place to sleep. But God provides for us along this way, but it's difficult at times. Verse 59, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we have to be invested in this adventure if we're going to start it in the first place. We have to want to finish it. We have to decide if that's really what we want. Now, God is invested in us when he's called us to this journey. He's invested his firstborn son. He was sacrificed for us. He also lived a wonderful example of how we are supposed to live, how we are supposed to walk on this journey. And Paul wrote to the Philippians to remind them of this fact, to encourage them. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. I think we should always keep this in mind, especially when we're going through difficult times. Philippians chapter 1, we'll read verses 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God's invested in us. He's not going to leave us. He's invested. He knows that we can make the journey with him. So we have to decide if we can finish it. And chapter 2 of this set of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So it's God's pleasure to call us to this quest, this adventure that we're on. And one thing about this trip that's different than maybe a mountain excursion where you're planning to climb a mountain, you know, in that type of situation, you do a lot of preparation ahead of time. You know, you plan out which routes you're going to take, you know, so there's no surprises. But on this trip, we're already on it at this point. There's certain planning that you can do, certain preparation, but most of the preparation, most of the things that you gain as far as skills and abilities, they happen while you're already on this journey. So it's very unique in that way. Now, there are certain essentials that you must take with you on this journey, or certain essentials that you can gather, experience that you can gather as you gain more confidence in your skills and more skills. These are some things that you need to hold on to together on your way on this Christian excursion. I'm gonna give you five essentials today that you're gonna need on this journey. And the first essential is knowledge. In preparing for an expedition, you need to study the terminology. You need to have the knowledge to know what's to be expected of you on this journey. For us, that knowledge is found in the Bible. It's the very Word of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the more we study the Word, the more familiar we are with it, and the better we are to follow it, to make informed decisions based upon what's written in God's Word. This is the knowledge that we build up, the knowledge that we need to know in order to have a successful journey. Now, there are going to be some difficult situations, some difficult questions that come up, and we have to be able to answer these questions. In 1 Peter 3, it says that we have to be able to give a defense for the hope that lies within us. So we must be ready. We must be studying. We must be thinking about different situations that are going to come up that we can read about in Scripture. Now, if we're reading this book and gaining the knowledge and wisdom that we need, that God wants us to have to be able to handle these difficult situations and seeking God, then we're going to be able to make more informed decisions about these things that are going to happen, these difficult questions that are going to come up. And we can be like the Christians in Berea in Acts chapter 17. They studied the Scriptures daily. You know, they didn't just rely on hearing from somebody that they knew or trusting what they previously believed. They read the Scripture to see if it was true, and we need to continue to do that. It's like getting ready to climb a very high mountain. You have to know what supplies you're going to need to go up there. If you bring too many of the wrong supplies, you're going to have a huge backpack full of things that you don't need, and it's going to weigh you down, and you're not going to be able to make it all the way to the top. So we learn what supplies are essential, and one of those is knowledge to be able to complete this trip. Now, the second essential that I have for you today are supplies. We're going to need some supplies as we go on this journey. These are our tools and the skills that we need to be developing, because there's going to be tough terrain ahead, and we have to be able to scale those rocks that we might come up against. As I said before, we're already on this adventure, and so some of these tools, some of these skills, we're developing as we move along this path that we're on. It's a difficult path. So we become more proficient in using those tools that we have. And we practice to gain more experience in using them and more successfully. And if we, you know, sometimes we may not be so successful, you know, we'll stumble. But if we learn how to use that tool the next time, we'll be more successful the next time. Now, one of the first supplies that we need is water. We can't live without water. Water is so essential. It's an essential part of any journey. Now, the water that we have, it's not like the regular water that we drink every day. It's special water. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we see Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. He was at the well, and he asked the woman to draw him some water. It's at Jacob's well. In verse 13, John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So this is the water that we need to bring with us. This is God's Holy Spirit. After we've counseled, for baptism, we count the cost. We are baptized. Our sins are washed away. hands are laid upon us, and we're given God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is what writes His Word on our hearts and in our minds. It's an essential piece of equipment for us to be successful on this journey. It's through God's Spirit that He leads us and guides us in the right paths. Another supply that we need is food. We have to have food to give us energy, to be nourished. Now we start off with milk, you know, some of the stuff that's easier to chew, some of the things that are more basic, the basic knowledge and understanding that we need. And we build upon that knowledge, that understanding. We move on to meat, things that are more important to know, things that are more difficult to understand, that we need God's Spirit. We need that water to be able to digest and to understand this meat. Now, some of the other foods besides milk and meat that we need are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let's read through these fruits of God's Spirit. Galatians 5, starting verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So these are the foods that we need to take along with us, that we need to have in our backpack, written on our hearts and minds. And John chapter 4, let's turn back to John chapter 4. Christ mentions some food that he eats. This is the food that sustains him. John chapter 4, verse 34. And Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So we know that we're supposed to be gathering spiritual food to take with us. And we follow the example that Christ had of gathering this spiritual food that we need, doing God's work, developing the fruits of God's Spirit in us. Now, along with food and water, we need certain equipment to take with us to be successful on this journey, on this adventure. Now, if you studied any kind of, I don't know, backpacking, serious hiking or adventuring, I've never been on a serious adventure like that, but I've looked into it a couple of times. There's some pretty fancy equipment that you can find. And we have some fancy equipment of our own that we need to take care to remember to bring with us, to take with us. We start out with wisdom. This is some of our fancy equipment, the wisdom of God. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." We need that wisdom from God to know how to use these other tools, to know what to do with those fruits of God's Spirit in us. And we gain experience in using those tools. We gain understanding. And we make good decisions, like we talked about before. And we also need, besides wisdom, we need armor and weapons. So this is quite an adventure if we need armor and weapons. It's going to be dangerous. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read about this armor and these weapons that we're going to need. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 11. We'll start in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now these are our weapons and our armor. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all that, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, although this isn't necessarily armor or a weapon, it's essential also. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So in that way, I guess prayer is, it's kind of a weapon. It can be a defensive weapon against the difficult times. You know, we're able to use that weapon to call on God, and He gives us strength. And we need to take only these essential supplies. We need that food and water. And we need wisdom and the special armor and weapons that God has for us to use. If we take too many other extraneous supplies, they'll weigh us down, and we won't have enough energy to make it to the top. Now, the third essential that we need is vision. So the third essential we need is vision. We need vision of our destination. We have to know where we're headed. We're headed to the kingdom of God, and we need to keep this kingdom in mind every day as we're moving along in this expedition, on this journey. Let's turn to Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Let's see if I can get that page. There we go. Verse 18. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. And in the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I think that's a little more intense. If we lose focus of what God has shown us, of His kingdom, this goal that we're heading towards, we will perish. We'll get lost on the trail somewhere as we're walking along. We won't be able to find where we're going. Another version, the Message, sometimes I like to use it if I'm looking for colorful descriptions of verses. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. So we have to keep that kingdom in mind. We want to be most blessed, as it says there. God has not hidden these things from us. They're not. His kingdom isn't a secret from us. He's told us all about it. He's given us that vision. He's put it in our hearts. So we'll strive for it, so that we'll want to be there. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2:1. We can see that it's not a secret. You know, God has shown us some amazing things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. We'll read verses 9 and 10. But as it is written in verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God has revealed this vision to us of His kingdom, the knowledge that we have from reading His scriptures. We're able to understand a little bit. We see a little bit of what the kingdom is going to be like. We have to hold that vision so we can stay on track. Because sometimes problems will arise. There will be difficult times. Now there's a verse in 2 Corinthians, or a passage in 2 Corinthians that talks about the perils that Paul went through. I love reading through it. I mean, it sounds awful, and I don't hope that on anybody. But it's interesting to see that sometimes there are difficult times, there are that we go through. And if we don't hold on to that vision, then we won't be able to make it through those difficult times. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I turned too far. We won't read through the whole thing this afternoon, but it's interesting to see some of the things that Paul went through. Let's start in verse 25. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And he goes on, you know, he's describing some of the things that he's gone through as a Christian, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, you know, a true apostle, one who's striving to serve God. And just because we're on this special trip, this adventure that only a few are called to, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have difficult times to go through. And we can't let these things get us down. You know, we can't be anxious if we don't have everything that we need right away. You know, sometimes it's difficult when you are hungry or you're thirsty or you're in pain. But we have to focus on God's kingdom. In Luke chapter 12, it says that it's our Father's good pleasure to give us this kingdom. We have to hold on to that sight of that kingdom. Now, if you're on a hiking trip on a mountain, you know, if you lose track of where you're going, then you could get seriously hurt. You could fall off the trail. You could twist an ankle. You might be unprepared if you don't know that there are going to be perils. You'll show up without a flashlight, and you'll be stuck on top of the mountain at night, and you'll have to stay there till the next morning. And there are a lot of parallels that we could make if we had the time. We could talk about all those, you know, the parallels between physical mishaps and the spiritual perils that we go through. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We can read one more verse on this, the vision of the kingdom. Our vision that we must have, our focus. Hebrews 12, read verses 22 through 24. In verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So this is the kingdom that we're focused on, this amazing place. Now, the fourth essential that we need, once we've decided that we're going to go on this journey, is guidance. It's very essential. We need guidance. We talked about that water that we need. It's God's Holy Spirit. And God guides us through that Spirit in us, working with us, helping us to understand more and more how to live our lives correctly. Helps us to stay on track so we don't get off that path, because it's a narrow path. If it's dark outside, it's difficult to stay on that narrow path. I don't know if you've ever tried to walk on a plank, not over the water, you know, in a ship or anything, you know, on a narrow path or like a railroad track. It's difficult to stay centered on that track, on that path. It's easy to step one foot off one side, you know, and you can get seriously hurt. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Now, this psalm praises God, and it praises His law. His law is put in place to help keep us safe, to know what is right and what is wrong. We're going to jump around a little bit in Psalm 119 because there are some beautiful verses here in this psalm that help show God's guidance for us while we're on this treacherous adventure that he's called us to. Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse 105. Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We need that light if it gets dark, especially if we've forgotten our own light. And we need God to guide us. He knows the right way to go, way better than we do. In verse 117, it says, "Hold me up, and I shall be safe. I shall observe your statutes continually." In verse 130, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." We need that understanding, don't we? In verse 133, "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." Iniquity is working against God's guidance. So we have to be cautious of that in ourselves. We can ask God to direct our steps and to shine that light on our path so we know which way to go. If we do get off of our path, he can shine that light and show us back. Show us the way back so we can get back on the straight and narrow path. And one more in Psalm 119, verse 176, the last verse, says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." And we can ask God to seek us when we're lost, to find us, to shine that light and help us get back on track. In Psalm 56, verse 13, it says, "For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" God brings us back when we get off track, and he helps us to see the light. He gives us light to see the truth, the true path. And there is another path, and we're warned of that. Sometimes we get off of God's path a little bit. You know, we get lost and we wander around in the darkness. And God can lead us back. He's the only one who can lead us back on track. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 11. "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life." Verse 14. "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on." So we have to be careful not to take the wrong path. And that's why we're always seeking God's guidance. We're always reading the book, our instruction manual, so that we know what we're supposed to do, what's expected of us on this journey. Now, the last essential that we need to gain or develop or to take with us on this journey, to work on as we're on this journey already, is teamwork. And we can read about love, loving each other in 1 Corinthians 13. We won't turn there yet. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you know, no matter all the skills that we have, all the fancy equipment that we have in our backpack, if we don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. This is the most important part, love. We have to have love for each other. We have to be able to work together on this journey because we're not traveling it alone. We're traveling it with a lot of other people. Even though right now it's just a select few, we're going to be better off if we can work together to build each other up, make sure we're all on the same track together. Amos 3, verse 3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" It's kind of a rhetorical question. Well, of course not. They'll shove each other off the path if they can't agree. They're arguing about who's going first on the path, trying to walk it at the same time, and, you know, putting their feet in the same spot at the same time. It's not going to work out too well. We have to build teamwork and to be able to strive together to achieve the same goal, because we have the same vision. We're going to the same place. And if we're not helping each other out, then it's not going to do us any good. Because when we fall down, who's going to be there to help us up? Proverbs 11, verse 12, says, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace." So sometimes we have to hold our peace. We have to watch our words. We have to be careful not to offend others when we're building teamwork. Let's turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle." So as we're going along, we're trying to work together, and we have to be careful not to offend one another. And that's on us. If we offend somebody else, that's on us. It's not on them. Well, now we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we can see where Paul addresses this issue of offending other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 23. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." Verse 24, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." So just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. So we have to watch our words. We have to watch our actions to make sure that we're using them to build each other up, to build that teamwork that we need to be able to have a more successful journey. Definitely a more pleasant one. And let's drop down to verse 32. "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." So you have to stay focused on that vision and remember that we're all in it together. We're all working toward that same goal. Now, you know, we have a responsibility for ourselves to not offend others, but we can't expect that from somebody else. It's an interesting, I don't know, way to look at it. You know, we're not supposed to offend anyone else, but we're also not supposed to be offended. So it's our job as Christians, as we're on this journey, as we're working together, striving for teamwork, it's our job not to be annoyed sometimes. And sometimes we get bothered by what other people say and do. We can't control their thoughts, and we can't control their mouths. We have to work on controlling our own, and that's difficult enough. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes. And there's a verse that talks about this very thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're down to verse 21. "Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you or saying bad things about you." Verse 22, "For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." So we can't take to heart everything anybody else says. You know, we take it all in stride, showing love through that as well. You know, being able to tolerate each other so we can build teamwork, because we're all going to the same place. And it's difficult sometimes. It's difficult to be in a small space if you're on a small path working together, you know, especially for a long time, if you're on a long journey. And this is a long journey, this Christian excursion that we're on. It's a very long journey. Sometimes, you know, we get close to people, and the little things that they do start to annoy us. You know, they bother us, or we disagree about something. But we have to be able to take it all in stride and still be able to work together. In 1 Corinthians 13, we can turn over there. I'm going to read verse 5. I have it in the Darby translation. So I like how it worded it. So it's describing love. This is the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 5, it says, love, referring to love. Love does not behave in an unseemly manner, does not seek what is its own, is not quickly provoked, does not impute evil. So we're watching out. As we're showing love, we're watching out for our own thoughts and our own actions. We're trying not to be quickly provoked by something that somebody else says. And we listen to their words patiently. Now, sometimes we do have to confront other people. Sometimes we do have to respond. But we should be able to choose our words carefully so we're not offending other people. And hopefully the other person will see things the same way. That they'll try not to offend us as well. Although it's probably going to happen. So we have to be careful not to be offended. I'm going to wrap this up. We've been invited on this wonderful expedition, this wonderful trip, this Christian expedition, Christian excursion. I forget the word that I said in the beginning. But it's a wonderful journey to a place that's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot better than the place we are now. I mean, Huntsville's all right, but it's not the kingdom. And we're hoping for that kingdom. We're looking to it. Now, to be successful, there are certain essentials that we have to take with us. Some of these things, hopefully, we have ready in our pack already. But some of these things we develop as we go. We add to what we already have. And we learn better how to use the skills that we have and the tools that we gather along the way. We need knowledge of the true way to walk. We have to take supplies. We take spiritual food and spiritual drink. We have God's Holy Spirit, and we have spiritual tools, and we only take those essential supplies so we're not weighed down, so we can actually finish this race, finish this journey. And we need vision. We can't lose track of where we're going. That's our goal, God's kingdom. And we need God's guidance. We need His help so that if we do get lost, He can help us back on track so we can continue on this amazing journey. And lastly, we need teamwork. We have to be able to work together. If we don't have love, all the other things that we have are meaningless. So we have to be able to work together. We have to be willing to try to work with each other to make peace so that we can have a more successful journey, more successful expedition to God's kingdom.